At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
You're listening to the Common Fan Podcast, a Husker football podcast for the common fan by the common fan.
Welcome back to the Common Fan Podcast. I am TJ Burkle, as always, with Matty Owens Sr. and Geoff in Lincoln. Hey, this is the second episode of our 3-episode special this week. Michael Sevier, friend of the program, is joining us. We are looking at all 12 games on Nebraska football's regular season schedule. So Monday's episode, we went to the first four. All four of us, all three Common fans, plus Michael, had the Huskers starting 4-0.
Woo!
Super exciting. We all agreed that's probably a top 15 ranking for the Big Red. So I think all of Husker Nation will be frothing at the mouth if and when that happens. Don't think it's going to be easy. Michael laid out the reasons why he thinks the Cincinnati game is going to be a close game. And then, of course, we all know Michigan is certainly a top 25 team this year, and it's going to be tough. But that's going to be 2:30 in the afternoon in Lincoln, and the Big Red faithful are going to jump down Bryce Underwood's neck and help bring that thing across the finish line. So the title of this episode, guys, for the middle third of the schedule is I'm not going to get it perfectly, but basically this part of the schedule represents the ghosts of Husker football past.
Oh, yeah.
So after the Michigan game, we go bye week on September 27th. Then on Saturday, October 4th, home against Michigan State. Saturday, October 11th at Maryland. Then they have a short turnaround to go see Jeff's favorite coach in Minneapolis, PJ Fleck. Friday, October 17th, night game against Minnesota at Minnesota. And then Saturday, October 25th, home game against Northwestern. We'll get Maryland out of the way really quick. Just that's sort of they had a super annoying loss to them in 2023. Not as much history there, but Nebraska absolutely should have won that game. But if you look at Michigan State and Minnesota and Northwestern, guys, there have been so many games for the Huskers in that category of one score games. We've had some thrilling wins against all three of those. But I think most Husker fans would say we've absolutely had games against all three where we felt like we were the better team. We felt like we had more talent. Maybe we felt like we played better on the field and came out with an L, right? And we could probably just do a whole episode. I know, Josh Josh has got the groin kick chronicle. It's got the groin kick chronicle. So we don't need to go down that rabbit hole too much.
Please
but,
don't.
But man, I mean, Nebraska hasn't beat Minnesota since 2018, Scott Frost's first year.
Yeah.
Michigan State, we've had some incredible, incredible wins against Michigan State. But with Michigan State, I think of the loss in 2014 when we went into that one, I think at 8-1, I want to say, or. Am I losing my mind about 2014?
No.
Anyway,
no,
and then
right.
the other one is just 2023.
The punt,
the low punt,
the punt.
Oh, that was 2021. Wasn't that 2021?
Punt the wrong way. That was us.
The wrong way. That was Frost. Oh gosh, I wasn't even thinking about that.
That was the 3-9 team, right?
That's the worst one.
Yeah. Yeah, but the other one was Rule's first year, when it was like Mel Tucker had gotten left in scandal in the middle of the year.
Yeah.
And they were like, they had like 2 wins when we went to East Lansing, and like, they kind of outplayed. Yeah. I mean, that one, it didn't really feel like we should win. The Nebraska offense was so bad.
Isn't that the one of the kid, the quarterback that transferred to ASU was on that Michigan.
Yep. That's yep. Yeah, he was. Yep.
Levitt.
Yeah. Levitt was a freshman. Yeah. Redshirt. Yeah. Freshman. True freshman. Yeah.
All right. I'm losing my mind. 2014. We went in 5-1, not 8-1. I don't know.
5-1. Yeah. I was thinking. Yeah.
Yeah, that was the one though. Michigan State got up like 17-0 or maybe even more. And we had this, we scored 19 points in the fourth quarter and then had the ball.
BPE punt return chance, for a touchdown.
Yeah. Yeah. And we had the ball with a chance to win. And we think we got a couple first downs and then Tommy threw a pick. I mean, it's hard to put it, you know, put it all on Tommy, but that was a wild one in 2012.
One of the best wins of Bo Pelini's career. 2012 with, that's when Taylor
Jamal
Martinez.
Jamal Turner in the corner of the end zone.
Oh, yep. And remember Taylor Martinez taking him down the field. It's a 4th and 5. He converts. There was that interception return for a touchdown. They called it back because they called a blindside block on the other side.
Right. That's right. Yeah,
that was a crazy game.
Well, in 2011, they came in as a top 10 team with Kirk Cousins. And the Huskers just sort of pounded them. It was like 24-3 or 27-3.
Yeah.
Like,
yep. Destroyed them. Yeah. Yeah. Isn't that the game where Burkhead rushed for like 38 carries or something? Was that that game?
That was an Iowa. I think that was against Iowa one game.
That was against Iowa. Really? Okay.
I think so.
Okay.
I feel like a really cold game in Iowa City, and Burkhead almost ran it for 40.
Oh, it was on the road. Okay.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. I thought I remember seeing that at home. Yeah, okay.
And then Northwestern guys, we should have known right in 2011, first year in the Big Ten.
Yeah.
We lost 28-25. I think it was like a fumble fest by the Huskers.
King Coulter.
They ran the ball like 14 straight times right down Nebraska's throat and straight drives.
And honestly, even the games we won, it's rarely been easy against Northwestern since then. We won a game we shouldn't have won. We probably didn't deserve to win in 2012 in Evanston. Wester catch was 2013. We lost two games in overtime. I think, didn't we lose two games in overtime in the Riley era? Or one of them was the last year of the Riley era. One of them was the last year of the Frost era. I can't remember. But
first year of the Frost era, they lost that game in overtime.
Yeah.
Okay. Remember the drive? Oh. The drive so back down the field? Yeah.
17 and 18 then. Yeah, I think.
Wasn't that Flynn Nagel? Flynn Nagel caught the touchdown?
Yes. Yeah. He was all over the field that day.
Yep.
And we've had a couple decisive wins. I know we beat them pretty handily in 2016. One of Frost teams absolutely destroyed them. But you look at all of these teams. Again, Maryland may be a bit of an exception, but even then we've had a bad loss to Maryland. And there's so much history with these teams. And I think all of them represent teams, especially Minnesota and Northwestern, represent teams that Husker fans believe we should never, ever, ever lose to. Right? Like, we are and always will be superior to Minnesota. We are and always will be superior to Northwestern. And yet the reality on the field has been much more mixed, really since we went to the Big Ten. So even in a scenario where Nebraska starts 4-0, this will be a critical stretch for the Huskers, because it only gets harder in the last four games of the season. And so they've got to figure out a way, I think, to win two to three of these games. All four of them. Who's going to argue with that, right?
Yeah.
All right. So starting with bye week after the Michigan game, Michigan State comes to town. They went 5-7 last year. It's year two of Jonathan Smith.
Yeah.
They brought in a bunch in the transfer portal. I don't really know what to make of this team. It's hard to know what to expect. I do like Jonathan Smith. I think he's a good coach.
Yeah.
It's a little bit hard to know what to think about this Michigan State team. Michael, what do you think?
For some reason, it's not just Nebraska, but Nebraska primarily has struggled to come up with bye weeks. It's very weird the way that's worked over the years. I even went back and looked at games coached by Matt Rhule at Baylor and Temple, and he had several losses coming off a bye week. So I think maybe he changes some of the stuff they do. Instead of giving those guys off as much time as I think they have been, I think they're going to try to practice more during that bye week so they won't happen again. But I like Childs as a quarterback. I think he can be very good. As you mentioned, Jonathan Smith, I think, is a very good coach. They're rebuilding the offensive line, though, and they had to go out and get a bunch of wide receivers. Defense is probably the strength, bringing back a bunch of starters. But I think it's closer than it should be, but I think Nebraska wins.
Love it. Matty O, what do you think?
Yeah, I think I was going to say, hey, we're coming off a bye week, and that's always good until Michael comes with the fire and the
statistics.
That's
a good point, yeah.
But no, I think – vibes are high, right? We just all picked Huskers to start 4-0, and we got a little week to kind of maybe inflate the egos even more, which is unfortunate. But I think coming out of that, I think you know, first Saturday in October in Lincoln, Nebraska. That's just about when the weather's the best of fall for football season, right? So I think, yeah, it'd probably be a little bit closer, and I do think Jonathan Smith is a good coach, but I think the Huskers get the W against Sparty.
Geoff?
I'm on board. Same exact thing. I was going to say that the bye week thing was going to be a positive, but you're right. Like, I didn't even think about that, Michael. Like, coming off of bye weeks, the Huskers, for lack of a better word, just haven't been great. Mm-hmm. So I'm still picking the W there. But I've got some things in store for the next couple of games that might surprise you. So.
Oh, well, great. Yeah. Bear with me here, guys. I'm going in with an L for this one.
Oh,
And I'll tell you why.
Oh, please tell us why.
My logic is probably flawed. I don't think they get out of this stretch of four games, unscathed. Mm, and I refuse to pick Minnesota to beat Nebraska. Oh. And so that's why I'm basically showing my cards. I'm showing my cards
all
here.
Right. Okay. All right.
I'd like to believe there's a scenario where they can and do win all four games. If I'm trying to keep like half a sane, you know, common fan hat on and not totally drink all the Kool-Aid, I think they probably lose at least one in this stretch. I mean, it just, we haven't seen it yet, right? We still haven't seen it as Husker fans where they prove that they can get over the hump and go on a stretch of winning multiple games in a row and beat teams we believe that they should beat. And so this, I feel like it would be peak, the last, you know, peak recent Husker football to beat Michigan and everyone is through the roof and we're a top 15 team and then turn around and lose to Michigan State at home in a game that we have no business losing. So
I can't believe I'm hearing you say this right now. You're normally like the harbinger of positive vibes and won't go there. And now you're picking a loss at home to Michigan State.
Do I want it to happen, Matty O? No. Do I believe it's possible it won't happen? Yes. But for this exercise, I'm going with the L. 10.
Okay.
Fine.
Well, everyone's looking at me like I killed a dog or something.
Right. Can I well, you might as well. You might as well.
Before anybody else goes, let me give you a quick stat. Do you know the last time Nebraska had back-to-back road game? That means in consecutive weeks, back-to-back road games, and won both of them.
Oh, my God. Probably like 25 years ago.
Bo, how did it have been September in the Pelini era?
It was 2006. So that is called Callahan. 2006.
That can't be possible.
Oh, TJ.
No, TJ.
Restrain yourself, TJ.
I refuse to accept it.
It's why I picked a game in the stretch for them to lose. Yeah. It's not Michigan.
Yeah. Yeah.
He who shall not be named did never. Yeah. I refuse to believe that he ever accomplished that feat. All right. Anyway. Okay. So next game, the very next weekend at Maryland. Maryland appears to be a dumpster fire. Yeah. CBS Sports has picked them to finish 16th out of 18 in the Big Ten.
Yeah.
Didn't Loxley just give a quote about how he lost the locker room last year?
Lead the Louis outside the locker room.
And then I just recently went on an Ohio State podcast just to give them the Nebraska perspective. And they were like, yeah, we went through the schedule with them too. And they're like, yeah, we just had the Maryland guys on and they are just distraught. They have nothing positive to say at all. So
totally
anecdotal, but I thought that was really interesting. So Michael, what can you tell us about the Maryland Terrapins this year?
Well, I agree with a lot of what you said. I will say it's the first road game. So there is something to be said about, for the first time, you know, paring your roster down and taking your Big Ten limit to whatever city it is that it's all the way across, you know, not all the way across the country, but you know, it's a flight out into Maryland. They are a mess. I look at Maryland and I kind of think to myself, they had this little stretch for about 2 years where they had a ton of talent and draft picks. But with everything that's happening now with NIL and profit sharing and bringing able, or revenue sharing and be able to bring guys in because you could pay them, it seems like it's not working out recruiting wise for Maryland. And so I'm with you. I think this is a game that Nebraska could win and win big. But I always worry about that first road game and how they handle everything and how they, I mean, it's not like it's going to be a huge route. The crowd will probably be a lot of Nebraska fans because Nebraska has a lot of fans in that DMV area. Yep. College Park is not far from there. So, but it's still a road game. So
So my question, I don't know. Admittedly, I don't follow Maryland football. I'm not into crab cakes in Maryland football. Why are they a dumpster fire? What's going on?
Do you follow Nebraska football?
Just a little bit.
Well, I think the biggest thing is that the amount of guys they lost in the portal and who they didn't get to bring back, who they thought maybe they would bring back and they didn't. I would guess that's probably the biggest thing for those people who follow them, but also recruiting wise. That's something that Loxley had done a very good job at. And, you know, it's starting to struggle a little bit. And the portal is a big part of that. I also saw some injuries that they have some concerns about as well when I was going through their preview. And so it just seems like it's a lot.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
I got to say, it's kind of jarring to hear the guy say he lost the locker room. Like, I don't know. I mean, I guess I appreciate the candor, and he's probably not the only college football coach in America to have that happen, but that's sort of like what
to say it out loud.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I don't know if it was losing the locker room as much as the guys didn't get along anymore because there was a division among those who were making money and who weren't. Yeah. That was kind of the issue, which is, you know,
and come on. There's still Maryland's still a basketball school. Like, they're not. They're not going to put the same amount of time and money and resources into football as they are basketball. They're just, that, to me, that's just, I've always associated Maryland with being a basketball
school. How old were you guys in 86? 1986.
We were four.
Yeah.
Well, if it was basketball season, we were not even four yet.
Are you talking about Len Bias?
It'd have been June. Yeah, that was I'll never forget that morning. My sister called me on the phone and said, "Did you hear that Lenny died?" And I was like, "What are you talking about?" And we had just spent time with him. My uncle coached it at GW, and he coached at Georgetown, and so we knew people around that area. And it just was devastating.
You knew Len Bias?
I met him. I had a chance to meet him a couple times. We went to some events where he was. Yeah, because I got a chance to call and do some PA on some AAU teams and some really good kind of matchup games that they would do during the summer. And so I had a chance to do that. But it was, that was devastating.
Cool. Oh, wow. Whew. All right. So Maryland, any other thoughts on Maryland? Do we all have it as a W?
That's a win. Road game, but it's a
Michael,
win.
Michael, are you ready?
Oh, I got it. It's definitely a W. It's a W.
Yeah. Definitely W. Okay.
Excellent. Their wins, their total is 4.5. I'm just looking that up.
Oof.
Yeah. 4.5.
That could be kind of a fun bet, though. You know, if you root for Mike Loxley, I kind of like Mike Loxley.
To get to 5?
Kind of a fun bet to see if they can get to 5.
Possible.
I like the idea of doing that with a team. If their win total is 4 or 5, you know?
Yeah, I don't know if Malik Washington is going to start.
At the end of the year.
If he's going to start like Bryce Underwood starting, but that's a big thing to a freshman quarterback again. So.
Yeah, that sounds like a fun bet, Matt. You gambling degenerate.
Hey, there's somebody out there listening is like, that does sound like fun.
It's not a fun bet.
Let's see if UMass can get to 4 wins this year.
Don't do that.
1-800-BETS-OFF if you're having problems. All right.
He's got that itch.
Matt, Jeff, and Mike, I can't believe I'm saying this. Matt, Jeff, and Michael all have the Huskers at 6-0 at this point. I'm the one who's got them at 5-1. Make no sense whatsoever.
Yeah.
That is at Maryland. So this is where things get a little bit complicated.
Short week.
They turn around and go to Minneapolis for a Friday night game against Geoff's favorite coach, PJ Fleck, on Friday, October 17th. That's going to be a 7 p.m. kickoff in Minnesota. This is a tough one for the Huskers. Michael, what are your thoughts on this?
Well, I mentioned it before. Nebraska, been a long time since they won back-to-back road games in consecutive weeks. And if you think they're going to beat Maryland, which I do, there was a loss somewhere in the schedule in this October. And so for me, I looked at Minnesota. You know, they got a redshirt freshman quarterback. Yes, they're replacing their wide receivers. But you know what Rota Boat has done? It doesn't matter. They got a new quarterback. If they've got a new wide receivers or missing 3 guys from their offensive line, he just rebuilds and gets them going. I think Darius Taylor is a really good running back, could put up some really good numbers. they even have issues in the secondary too with guys they lost. But I just think that he builds a team. He knows how to beat Nebraska. He beats Nebraska by not making mistakes and letting Nebraska beat themselves.
Yeah.
That's what he has done. And until I know that Nebraska is not going to beat themselves, and the only way I'm going to know that is for them beat themselves in terms of a game, is what I'm saying. but until I know that for a fact, I'm not going to think that they won't do it. And so that's why, you know, I feel the way I do about the Minnesota game.
Mm-hmm. So you think it's a loss?
I do. I think it's a loss. I think I mean, you talk about having to go out to Maryland, deal with the first road game, come back here, short week turnaround. The Maryland game, we don't even know what time that game is. Where do they get back at, like 2 o'clock in the morning?
Yeah.
They turn around and do their rehab on Sunday. All of a sudden you got the short week, you're rushing. I agree,
unfortunately, and it pains me to say it, but for all the reasons that you've detailed, and you know Fleck is going to just grind this game down to a halt,
yep,
and take every single second off the play clock, and then they're going to make two or three plays when it counts, and Nebraska is going to make a mistake, and that's I hate to say it, but I'm with you, Michael. I think it's a prove it game to me. Going against the Gophers and Fleck, and I don't know if we'll be ready. Granted, what would be 6-0 at that point?
Yeah.
6-0. Yeah. I think that's where the first loss comes, is in Minneapolis. And I hate to say it, but that's what I'm predicting.
Yeah, I agree. Short week.
And by the way, Jeff kind of resembles the fashion sense of James Fleck. Okay. I don't know if that's
his name, to go with J. Fleck.
That shirt needs to be tighter. That shirt needs to be a whole. You need to go out about a size and a half on that shirt. Yeah. It's tight, but it's not tight enough to be PJ Fleck. Medium.
Okay.
I don't know how that didn't rip when you did your flex at the beginning of the show, Jeff.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't have any muscles.
I'm with you. How dare you?
You said it, not me, Michael.
I can't talk myself into a Husker victory this time. I mean, it's just very fitting of PJ Fleck to get us on a year when this is supposed to be like the year three leap and optimism is an all-time high. I can't bet against Minnesota in this one. Like, you can't argue with his results. I mean, I feel like he's just a glorified hype man, in my opinion. I feel like that's all that guy does, is he has catchy, gimmicky phrases and gets his people hyped up, and it works. He's had our number in the past. So yeah, can't win them all. We're probably going to drop this one. So I'm going to go off an L on this one as well.
Well, I don't know what's wrong.
And by the way, Fleck primed us for it. Did you see all the nice stuff he said about?
Yeah, he did. He was like super confident.
I don't know. They're so good. They're the most dangerous team in the Big Ten. Oh,
I know
my
what
God.
He's doing. I know what he's doing.
Yeah.
Yep. Mind games.
Mind games.
Checkers, not chess. Yeah, chess, he's not checkers.
He's a goon. He's a clown. And I don't know what's wrong with you guys. I've got it as a W for the Huskers. It's going to be, we're going to break that back-to-back road losing streak, and we're going to win at Maryland. We're going to win at Minnesota. It's just time. Like, it's just like Minnesota has not been this much better than us that we can't win one game since 2018. They simply have not. We outplayed them in 2023 in Rule's first year. That was the one more than any other game in 2023 where I was expecting a loss. Why are the fireworks going on?
You've got
on
like fireworks going on.
That's awesome. On.
It's all because you predicted the victory.
They don't believe you.
All of my, the AI machine doesn't believe me. What were we talking about? I totally got lost there. Okay. 2023 was the game I was fully prepared for us to lose, because it was not only Rule's first year, it was Rule's first game. And going into Minnesota, Thursday night game, all the reasons we talked about, and they absolutely outplayed him in that game. Absolutely should have won that game. Yeah. So this time the Huskers do it. They get over the hump. They beat Minnesota. I'm taking that one as a W. Again, part of the reason I took Michigan State as a loss is because I think there will be a loss in here, and I refuse to pick Minnesota to beat Nebraska. I also, like, when I'm laying in bed tonight, I'm going to go through the schedule in my head, and I'm going to have us probably at 7-0 just as I'm laying there thinking about it. So I just want you guys to know that.
Sure.
All right. All four of us have the Huskers at 6-1 at this point. Heading into the Northwestern game. We don't have a time for that one yet. Saturday, October 25th. That's in Lincoln. I really like David Braun. I think he's a good coach. I do think that the modern era of college football with NIL and transfer portal and revenue sharing, all those things, does not work in Northwestern's favor. just for not just against Nebraska, just in general. Michael, what do you think?
Oh, I do love Preston Stone. 2 years ago, Preston Stone made me a lot of money gambling on him when he was at SMU. And so, yeah, so I like Preston Stone. Last year, of course, lost his job to Kevin Jennings. So he's got a chip on his shoulder. I do like their running back. I always like their running back, but Cam Porter's a good player. I think we'll know a lot about Northwestern. They play Tulane early in the season. I think it's the first game of the season. I think we'll know a lot about Northwestern after they play Tulane, more about what they're going to be. But I think this is one of those teams that is, if they went 2-10, I wouldn't be shocked. I'd be like, wow, that's kind of crazy. But if they went like 8-4, I kind of wouldn't be shocked either. This is one of those teams that it's hard to get a real gauge on because of the way they are from year to year. But I have Nebraska winning the game and moving to 7-1.
I will say if there is a team that tends to be on the better part of the range on any given year, it's usually Northwestern.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, I feel like there's been multiple years where it's like, well, yeah, they don't have any talent and this or that. And then it's like, oh, they won the Big Ten West at 7-4. So I just, you know, something or 8-4, whatever, you know. Matty, what do you think?
Yeah, I think W, for all the reasons that you've detailed, I just don't think that the new world of college football is going to bode too well for the folks over at Northwestern. And I don't know when their stadium project is going to be done. Are they playing at like that lakeside?
Two more games, at least
high
two,
school game.
Two to four games stadium? I saw they're playing.
Oh, really?
Not at the new stadium yet, but I think maybe it's done by the end of the season because they only said two to four games they're playing, I thought.
Interesting.
Yeah, I heard capacity of that new stadium is about 2,500. Is that about right?
Aren't they also playing like at Wrigley and like
probably
they're playing like in a bunch of other places, I thought, this season too.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. It's so funny whenever they do, like, you see the tweets about the mock-ups of what it's going to look like, and I think the capacity is like 30,000 or something like that, and just Husker fans cannot resist jumping into the comments and being like, it's still going to be full of Nebraska fans or something like that.
Yeah.
Geoff, what Geoff, what is your extensive research told
on
you
Northwestern? Oh yeah,
this year's Northwestern team.
How's this for extensive research, huh? Rule's gonna be pissed off that we lost that snake oil salesman Fleck the week before. We're gonna come in, we're gonna beat the hell out of these guys.
Oh, that's pretty close. Good. I like that.
I love that. Yeah. I love that, Geoff. All right. I've got it as a W as well. We had slightly different ways of getting there, but all three Common fans plus Michael. Coming out of the Northwestern game, have the Huskers at 7-1. I think even with a loss in there, whether it's to Michigan State or Minnesota or somebody else, 7-1, again, you're almost certainly in the top 25. Oh, are they in the top 15 at 7-1?
Oh, heck yeah. Yeah, definitely. Especially if the wins are against Cincinnati and Michigan. As long as Michigan's not falling apart. They do play two games, by the way, at Wrigley Field at the end of the season.
Northwestern does.
I
feel like I remember being cognizant, like, well into like the Bo era of like, feels like we're ranked a little high. That feels like just because we're Nebraska. And I feel like we got that benefit of the doubt for years and decades even.
Oh, sure.
The reason I bring it up and I'm so insecure about it is because I feel like the script has completely flipped. Whereas now
we have to earn it more.
We have to completely earn it. Whereas like nobody trusts or believes in Nebraska after the last 10 years. And sure. So we almost, it feels like we have to do more to get that recognition.
Yeah.
So anyway, all right, that wraps up the middle four games, looking at a bunch of teams that represent the ghosts of Nebraska football past. If you haven't checked out Monday's episode covering the first four games of the schedule, make sure and do that. And we'll have one more out on Friday, looking at the last four games on the schedule. And if we have time for that one, maybe we'll talk about like what the playoff schedule is going to look like and, you know, what day the national championship game's on and all those things, you know, just for the Huskers. That's supposed to be a joke, guys. Nobody's laughing. Okay.
It's not a joke.
I took it seriously.
It was in jest. We used to joke
about these things, about making the playoff, and now it's like, hey, there are national people saying things like that. So it's like, maybe it's not as funny anymore.
That's true. All right. So stick with us, Common fans. Next episode, looking at the final four games, will be out on Friday. Thanks for hanging with us as always. Thanks to special guest Michael Sevier. We'll be back at you soon. In the meantime, as always, GBR for life.
KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.